Okay, guys, we gotta put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're at Billy Gardell on the hotline right now.
Did Billy call in on the request line?
Yeah, I had trouble getting connection with him, so he called me on the regular line.
Jesus.
Dude, I love him so much.
Born August 20th in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, our next guest started his stand-up career at age 19, eventually opening for the likes of Dennis Miller and the late, great George Carlin. He rose to fame as one of the stars of the wildly popular CBS series Mike and Molly, as well as starring in his own stand-up special, Halftime, hosting the game show Monopoly Millionaire's Club, and appearing on such shows as Young Sheldon and the miniseries Sun Records. You can see him every Monday night on the popular CBS series Bob Hart's Abishola, which is preparing to air its final episode in May. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Billy Gardell.
Mr. Billy Gardell, how are you?
Well, Johnny Dare, how are you, brother? I called in on the hotline. I want to request some Zeppelin and you played it, so that was great.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to have you, man. Man, it's so crazy.
It's great to talk to you, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah, but it's crazy to me. We were talking today about the odds of having one hit TV show in your life are just infinitesimally small. And it's such a rare thing. But, you know, to come from Mike and Molly and then fire up Bob Hart's Abishola and run five full seasons and go strong, it's almost an impossibility. I mean, you just don't see it.
You know, it's funny you said that, man. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were listing people who had back-to-back sitcoms that succeeded and did 5 years. And Bob Hart's Abishola just announced that syndication isn't what it used to be because of the streaming.
Right.
But there's still there's smaller syndication now, but it's going to be in reruns. And Bob Hart's Abishola just announced it's going to be in syndication from 2024. To 2027. So I had back-to-back sitcoms that went into syndication that succeeded on the air. Now, the way I look at it, like Bob Hart's Abishola was a Super Bowl win, and I feel like Mike and Molly was, I really think that was an all-time classic show.
Yeah.
So, but the idea of what you just said, we were listing them the other day, and we came up with this. We came up with Ted Danson, right? He did it. Kelsey Grammer.
Right.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Ed O'Neill, Bob Newhart, and your dumb friend, Billy Gardell.
that's a pretty good group of people to be hanging with, man.
That's rare air. You know, yeah. I was listening to that cool intro you guys always play for your guests. I was listening to mine. I was like, hey, this guy did all right.
Yeah.
That was cool, man.
And we were talking about the way, like, and even stuff like that you've played in the last few years, like the Elvis movie that you played Colonel Tom Parker, you played him. Like, that's the way I wanted him to be played. And again, I think Tom Hanks is great, but I thought your version of Colonel Tom Parker, to me, was what I always thought he was. Like,
you're a prince. Well, I got a lot of love online about my portrayal of Colonel Parker after the Elvis movie came out with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
When we did Sun Records, about 13 people saw it.
It was one of the
best acting pieces I've ever done. But sometimes it's just weird like that. You do great work, and it either catches or it doesn't catch. And we were on CMT, which was trying to do original programming, and then we got to the end of that season, and I think they looked at the price tag for that show, and they went, you know what? Let's go back to shows where people catch fish with their arms, and that's okay, too. But I did my best acting work, and the comment I got was people really loved my Colonel Parker, and it was really sweet. But I think that the only difference was that I could see, because I saw the movie, and I liked what Hanks did, but it was a darker version of that guy. But the thing that I got, and I had some inside info, because when we did some records down in Memphis, I got to talk to some of the Memphis Mafia, and I got to talk to the CEO of Graceland, and I got to talk with a lot of people that really, really knew Parker. And they all said, you know, they all had a different description of him. So that gave me the first clue, like, this guy is whatever you need him to be, this is what this guy is. But the CEO of Graceland gave me the best insight. He said he was greedy, he was rotten, he was crooked. He goes, but he was charming as hell.
Yeah.
He said, that's the thing you got to remember when you play him. There's no way he could have gotten away with what he got away with if he wasn't super chill. Like, he had to talk you into the bad idea and make you think you loved it. And he goes, play him from that place. So the two people that I based him on was Walter White and Foghorn Leghorn. I figured that was the perfect cross section.
I thought you were going to say Craig Glazer.
Thank you for noticing, my brother. Thank you for noticing. I appreciate it.
Did you ever work Stanford's when you in the early days, Stanford's Comedy Club?
Oh, my.
Dude, tell me.
Did I work Stanford's, man? Yeah. I would work Stanford's and then work my way down that hill through those bars, Buzzard Beach.
Sure. Lone Star.
There was a Kelly's. Great Irish bar at the top of the hill that Kelly's. Would open at 6 a.m. Kelly's.
Yep.
We'd be standing out there at 10 to 6 like lunatics waiting to do tequila sunrises. And then we'd hit, what was the other place out there? The Blues Emporium, I used to love.
Oh, Grand Emporium. By the way.
Grand Emporium. And then was it Burns? Burns Barbecue? Did the Burnt Ends?
No! It's either Gates or Bryant's.
Gates. It was Gates.
So let me go backwards a little bit. I think I own the Grand Emporium side. I had it refinished. It's in my home. The big neon outside.
No way, dude! I saw so many great blues shows in that place.
Me too.
For $3.
Yeah,
it was the best, man. It was the best.
But Colonel Tom Parker, when you were describing him, I'm like, he's talking about Craig Glazer. He's talking about Craig Glazer.
I think he might be a late model Colonel Parker, but I would say.
But he would convince you to go along with him. You know what I mean? Like,
100. You thought it was the best idea, man. Hey, we're going to walk the plank, buddy. You want to walk the plank? Yeah, sure. That sounds like a great idea.
Listen, I mean, everybody's doing it, man. Come on, Billy. I mean, you don't really need to get paid. Think about it, Billy.
But
Tom Parker, because he was most likely a killer. He couldn't go back, and that's all very documented, right? Like, he couldn't leave the country.
That was the main reason he wouldn't let Elvis tour out of the country. Because think about it, Elvis is worldwide fame. I mean, they're still impersonating him in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, Elvis, but he never got to tour the world and, you know, expose himself to those fans and make that money, because Colonel Parker was terrified that if they left the country, he would be deported, and so he kept him in America and very selfishly kept Elvis from ever traveling the world to perform because of his own self-centeredness. And he wouldn't let him go on his own because he was afraid, you know,
sure.
another manager would come along and go, Elvis, 50% seems a little high.
I know. It's because, you know, Elvis's father was about it, you know, he was questionable with his own son.
Correct.
and the deals he made. And then, you know, you just think... But the other side is, and why it's he was such a criminal, Colonel Tom, but it forced him to do what had never been done and still has never been broken. And who knows if the numbers are real, but that Aloha from Hawaii, like, satellite number was absurd.
First satellite broadcast and we're talking, I don't know how many millions, but it was ridiculous. Like, I don't know. I'm sure that's been broken by a Super Bowl at this some point here, but that thing stood for decades.
Yeah.
And no one had ever done a simulcast before. The other thing about the Colonel was he really was a genius at marketing. A genius.
Yes.
Now, somebody told me this, and this is interesting. He took 50% of Elvis's money, which is too much. Most managers take 10 to 15%. The standard these days is 10. It used to be 15. But there is an argument to be made for 30%, or actually, 25%, somebody told me, because he actually was Elvis's manager. He was his press agent, and he was his publicist, and he was his basically his accountant. So if he was charging for all those fees, you still get up to about 28%.
Yeah.
But you know, the Colonel was, my buddy used to do a thing about that, a joke on stage. You should go 50-50, Elvis, fair is fair.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no picking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And by the way, if you're just joining the show, the great, legendary Billy Gardell. And
legendary.
Yeah, well, listen, once you hit, I mean, you think about Mike and Molly. By the way, that did make you legendary. That just did.
Yeah,
it's
a
classic.
That was a class. That's a true classic show. True classic.
And you're wrapping up in just a couple weeks. May 6th, yeah. The series finale, not the season, the series finale mm-hmm. of Bob Hart's Abishola. And you have the luxury of knowing how this ends, knowing to talk to your cast. You're not waiting to after the season's over and waiting to find out if you got picked back up again.
No, it's always good to know when the end's coming so that you can properly retire the show. And I think we did a great job with the finale. The one tonight's really good, and I'm really proud of it because there's a huge dance number. Like there's a dream sequence dance number.
That's great.
And it's like we literally went on the back lot in Warner Brothers, lit up the street, wet it down, put the spotlights out, everybody in tuxedos and dresses, like it's an old school Hollywood dance number tonight, which to be able to do that was amazing for me. I mean, because, you know, I've lost all the weight and I was able to move and learn these things and do this. And so I really love this one. But the season finale is really smart. The writers have, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you, but what are they going to do, fire me? So the season finale takes place 7 years in the future. So you kind of get to see where everybody's at in the future. And they did it really cool.
Nice.
They did it really cool, yeah.
Well, you lost, talking about that weight you lost, two things. A, and this is going to sound like I'm swinging from your balls, but... has anybody told you in that your press photo, you look like Clark Gable?
You know, it's funny, man. Thank you. I grew the mustache for Bob Hart's. And, you know, when you grow a mustache, you roll the dice. You either look like one of three things. You look biker cool, or you look old timey, or you look like a perv. And I got lucky. I got old-timey.
I got old-timey.
I always say I went from a young Jackie Gleason to an old Paul Newman. Yeah.
But really, I looked at that and I was like, man, he looks so cool old school like that. Because you're right. If I grow a mustache, I look straight molestache. Like, it's not.
I don't know, man. I think you got that. I think you might have that Sam Elliott Roadhouse thing. I think that might be all right on you. That hurts like hell, doesn't it, Mio?
Sure as hell.
By the way,
show
don't
you
go see that remake. It's horrifying.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is horrifying.
Horrifying.
You
can't replace those guys. Some movies you're not supposed to remake, and that was one you're not supposed to remake.
No, but I tell you, who knew that, was it the fighter, Conor McGregor, wait, that's an actor. That guy's spectacular. It's so
I think he made. There's talk of a Golden Globe.
Best impersonation of a primate.
They're gonna give him the nod.
best portrayal of a primate I've ever seen in my life. Like, so bad. But you get to the end of the show, man, and then people don't know this, like. There are some Hollywood stars that are just true sociopaths. Like, they're in it to climb their they climb the imaginary mountain.
I love when people do that, though. But let's also remember, there's some lawyers that are sociopaths. There's some doctors that are sociopaths. There's some teachers that are sociopaths. We just seem to pay the bill for all of that.
Oh, radio, trust me, radio is filled with them. Like, that's filled.
It's true. It's in everything. Yeah. It's in everything.
Of course. But my point I want to make is that's not who you've ever been, and it's got to be hard for you. This is the other thing I wanted to talk to you about ending this show, is I know you enough to know that you value friendships and loyalty, and you want to keep a team together, and you also know that's the best you're going to get out of people when you hold them together and you rise together. It really means something. And then when you got to say goodbye, you know, you haven't been detached. You've been very, very much attached. You guys, this has been how people pay their bills, how they pay for their kids' educations. It's their job. And it's going to be really hard on you guys. Well, I guess, have you already shot the series finale?
We actually did it. Yeah, we actually had our finale. And, it's I set a pretty good tone on the shows I'm on. And I believe in the show is above all of us. Nobody's bigger than the show.
That's right.
You know, if Jimmy Burrows, I'm trying to drop the name. Let me pick that up off the floor. But Jimmy Burrows, the legendary director, taught me at the beginning of Mike and Molly, when you're number one on the call sheet, man, you know, that has an effect. And the fish thinks with the head. So if you come in here and act like a gentleman, that's going to spread through your set. And if you come in here and act like a jagoff, that's going to spread through your set. And he said, I hope you make the right choice. And I think I made the right choice on both. And I tried to talk to the head of Warner Brothers and, you know, our janitor the same way. You know what I mean? I tried to treat everybody with the same respect. And that caught fire. And the good thing about this show, man, with Falake, who was my played my wife on the show, she was eager to learn and really great. And most of the younger cast, the cast that never had a break yet, they were great. And Gina Yashere, who helped create the show and is a great comedian in her own right, who gets it and understood the opportunity. And once you have people that are around you that understand that this is a 1% shot, and if we just go through this and trust each other and do a great job, the reward will be something that'll be in reruns, and you're going to get to take care of your family. And on top of that, we have 150 crew members, cameras, lights, wardrobe, makeup, props. You know, we're employing 150 people for their insurance, towards their retirement. And that, once you keep that focus, you're good. And then I always say, for me, the reason I didn't make a mess in 11 years, and let's be honest, bro, that's a Cal Ripken run.
Yeah, for
that's,
real.
That's 224 games. That's pretty good. But the most important thing for me is when I came home, I have a wife and kid that are more important than my career.
That's it.
So
that's it.
No matter when I left and went home, I always had my focus right, because I have something more important outside of work that doesn't let work define me, which allows me to respect my work. That's how I go at it.
Yeah, no, you were doing it, and you do it for them, for your wife, for your kid, to
provide
for them.
Yeah, man, that's it. That's the deal. I want them to have a life that I never had, and I also want us to be grateful for what we've been given, and I think we do a good job of that in this house. And like I said, I went 11 years, no mess, man. No mess.
Oh, Mike, listen, the guy who changed my life in this business, well, one of many, but Norm Schrutt, my late agent, every letter I ever received from him.
You've talked to me about him several times.
I do. To everyone ended with, to whom much is given, much is expected.
There it is.
And everything. It's all in that one phrase. And I think about that phrase, and I think about him every week, for sure, if not every day. But to whom much has been given, much is expected. It works in every aspect of your life. If you fall in love with the right person, then you owe that love back. If you've, it's all the things. And again, we could do this all day, but it really does matter. It does matter in this life. If you want to have
matter.
Happiness.
And now more than ever does it matter.
Yeah.
You know, we got to give each other some room, some space, some difference of opinion, so that some breath. Take it easy. We're allowed to agree to disagree. It doesn't have to be wrong. It can be different.
That's right.
And we've forgotten that, you know?
Yeah. Again, if you're friends with somebody and then they decide that they're going to vote differently than you, you can still be friends. You were friends for a reason.
We used to understand that we have differences of opinion, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be one way. We got to get back to understanding that each other is. We all have our differences, but because we feel strongly about the difference, doesn't mean we have to have hate. It doesn't mean we have to excommunicate people. It means we have to try. It's the opposite. If we don't, united we stand, divided we fall.
Yep.
That's the one that scares me. That's the one that haunts me. And I learned that on Schoolhouse Rock, which, by the way, I think they should start playing again because we need that. Need that.
for many reasons. For so many reasons.
I hope and I pray that someday.
And he did become a bill, and then he became a law.
Right. Became a law.
That's right. No, I still wear a Schoolhouse Rock T-shirt, man. I could be like, oh, you have no idea. You don't know.
Buddy, I'm Gen X right there with you. I bought one, too. I got a blue one.
So what do you do now, Billy? Like, I know you're not going to quit working, obviously. You're going to just fire something else up, a movie, a TV show?
I will never stop working. I'm like you, man. I can't. 3 days off and I'm nuts and I need to be back at work. So what I've been doing is I've been dipping my toe back into stand-up waters just to see what's left in that gas tank, because I'm a different animal on stage, and it's a different energy because I've lost 170 pounds. So going up there, I used to be a guy at my size that could walk in a room, go, get out of the way. Now I'm the guy that's like, oh, I'm sorry, did I bump you? And so there's a different energy on stage, and I'm trying to figure out what that is. And then I want to look at some dramatic roles, some guests. I want to do some guest starring on some shows now, I think, this next year, until I decide what I'm going to do after that. I do have some interest in playing a bad guy or a crooked doctor, a crooked politician or a detective or something, but guest starring stuff. And then I think what I might do, man, no one's ever done the three-peat. And I think I might take a shot to see if that's possible for maybe next year and see if I could do one more, man. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be
at this
incredible
point? It's for the love of the game.
Sure.
Know what I mean?
Well, isn't that when you're gonna do your best at that, though? The moment that you're like, I literally can be so fearless. I have enough money to pay my rent. I'm not worried about that. I'm gonna go at this with everything. I'm not gonna hold
just
anything
just for the
back.
Love of the game, exactly. And just try to find the right project. And I would love to try to pull off a three-peat. I really would.
Oh my God. It'll probably need a disc jockey without any acting skills at all. And then we also have Jake, who has some.
You're top of the list, buddy. Top of the list.
Oh, man, I just love you so much, Billy. Just everything. And
I love you back, brother. I love you back, man. And hopefully I'll get through Kansas City to see at some point if I can get these stand-up chops back up. I've been busting around town doing 10 and 15 minutes, and if I can get it back up to 50 minutes and some new stuff to talk about and I get rolling again. Kansas City is always one of my favorite stops. I love that city. Always have.
Let me know what's happening with you. And again, if you're just rolling through this country, man, heading somewhere, man, stop through, barbecues on us. We'll stay up too late. We'll tell stories. Basically, we'll just ask you questions until you're just tired of talking to Jake and I.
I love it, man. I love it. And I'm glad, by the way, I talked with Jake. His son's down in Orlando, UCF, man. That's my old stomping ground, Orlando. That's where I started. You know, that's a funny one. I realized this the other day. Excuse me. Our open mic night in 1987 at Bonkers Comedy Club in Orlando was me, Daryl Hammond, Wayne Brady, Larry the Cable Guy, Carrot Top, and about three or four others that went on to do very, very well. And I just remember thinking, what a group of unemployed guys at the time. And nobody had any idea if any of us were going to make it. And we were just sitting around Denny's every Wednesday night after open mic night trying to write jokes for each other. And I was looking at our graduating class the other day. And I was like, wow, what a crew to come from. But that was all Orlando stuff. So I wish Jake's son down there the very best.
Man, I'll tell you, that's work ethic. That's it. Because, I mean, I've known Larry for so long like you. And he's
such a good dude.
He worked his way into that world.
Yes, he did. He busted it, dude. That guy, he really, once he figured out that character and then he perfected it and then he really promoted it and worked it and worked it. I mean, he deserves every bit of his success. Plus, he's a great guy, man.
Yes.
He's a sweet, good human being.
Without a doubt. And Carrot Top, man, he worked his ass off. You know,
exactly.
And Daryl had just been through so much. Like, until I read his book and I realized how terrible his child and his mother and everything that he went through. Like, I love that guy. Like, I love him more now after reading his books. I'm like, you pushed through everything you did. You created this thing to protect yourself. Yep. And
that's it. A lot of us do,
Right, right. That dude, you can use it for
fuel. Daryl's childhood, mine was not a tenth as traumatic as his. But I think there becomes I think most comics that end up being pretty connected with their audience are the ones that can just walk through the pain and use it as a coping mechanism. I think in some way it comes out of their act. Not always talking about that topic, but there's just a healing in authenticity and honesty. And I think that's the common thread amongst really good comics.
No doubt. I just realized that you gave us so much time. Brother, I sure do love you, and I thank you again for stopping by today. I just realized I've stolen you for 30 minutes now.
You're the quickest 30 minutes in the business, and I love you, and I do. And before you ask, I'm not driving a hot rod right now, but I do have the corner of my eye on a 58 vet coupe.
Oh, that's a nice...
You know why? Because I would fit in it now. Back in the old days, Johnny, back in, that's my dream car. Back in the old days, if I got that, I'd look like a Shriner. So I'm looking to drive that thing and fit in it. So that might be the next one, and I'll let you know.
Those are so cool, man. I've been hung up on rat rod trucks right now, like old patinaed.
I totally see you in a rat rod with a 2-inch windshield. That's so great.
Yes.
So
hung up on those, man. I'm just looking to pull the trigger on one. And a real driver, you know what I mean? Like one I really want to take it out every day.
Yeah, well, that's me, dude. I want to drive it every day. I will give up classic original parts for use every day.
Yes.
I'm with you. I want to roll around in it, you know?
Whoever does it first, send the pictures.
Deal.
All right. The legend, Mr. Billy Gardell.
Love you, brother.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
Please, if you could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.